Good morning. Welcome to the ICS Live Facebook stream. This morning, I would like to speak about a topic called spiritual warfare. This spiritual warfare actually affects us all. Are you aware that there's a spiritual war of cosmic proportions taking place? Have you ever been a casualty of this spiritual war? And how would we know if we have been a casualty? Have you ever suffered with a negative self-image? Have you ever felt worthless? Have you ever suffered with depression? Are you discouraged, downtrodden, or even dejected? The battle, it affects us all, our families, our culture, the country we live in, every aspect of our lives. The battle is ultimately the Lord's, but we do have a part to play. This spiritual warfare, the conflict is taking place in the invisible spiritual realm, but it manifests itself in this physical spiritual realm that we call home, our countries that we live in. Everything we see in this physical realm is caused or influenced by the invisible spiritual realm. When I talk about a cosmic spiritual battle, how do I know this? Well, let us read from the book of Ephesians, from chapter 6, at verse 12. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So the Bible, it clearly defines for us that we are not fighting against human beings. We are not fighting against people. But as Christians, the Bible clearly tells us, for we are fighting, but we're fighting against spiritual powers. And we are active as Christians, and we are not passive. Some translations say wrestling, and I think that's a really good picture. Hand-to-hand combat. Some translates it as struggling, but I think fighting and wrestling is a better and more accurate translation. This hand-to-hand combat that is taking place, because it's up close and it is very personal. So who are we fighting, and who are these two kingdoms that are at loggerheads? Well, when Jesus cast a blind mute demon out of a man and he healed him, all the people were amazed and they said amongst themselves, could this be the son of David, the promised Messiah? But unfortunately, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, didn't share in their joy. They actually said, it is by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. So Jesus replied to them, and we're picking it up at Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? So it's very important to know that Jesus Christ revealed to us here in Scripture that Satan has a kingdom. And his kingdom is made up of demons, rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age, which I just read in the previous verse. It goes on in verse 28, But it is, if it is by the Spirit of God I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So we have the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Satan, which is the kingdom of darkness that is hidden. And this cosmic battle is between these two kingdoms. I want to pick it up. Once you were spiritually dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Ephesians chapter 2. So this prince of the power of the air, the commander of the powers in this unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. We know that Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Well, I have to say, regarding Satan and his kingdom, he certainly has delusions of grandeur. How could a created being ever hope to win against a fight against the Creator, the kingdom of God? But because of his jealousy of mankind, he is opposed, and this battle is raging. And it's good for us to know and to confirm that Jesus dealt Satan a death blow when he defeated him upon the cross of Calvary. He defeated Satan, the dragon, this Beelzebub, the prince of the power of the air, not only defeated him, but he made a public spectacle of him at the cross. But God, who is rich in mercy, wants the rest of mankind to come into a knowledge of him and to seek repentance and be restored with God. So we can come into a full relationship with God. But we do wage war. I'd like to pick it up at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So there is a war going on, but we don't fight as the world does. The weapons, we don't use guns, bullets, or swords. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual, and they have divine power. So if we read verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Well, how do we do that? Well, every accusation against us as Christians, every lie, we make them obedient to the Word of God. When we hear these voices telling us that we are worthless, we are useless, we will never make it, it's better if you've never been born, all these lies, all this darkness, we make it obedient to the Word of God, that we are created in the image of God, that God loves us completely. He has a plan and a purpose for us. No weapon fashioned against us will prosper. We subject them lies to the Word of God. We subject everything, this immorality of the world, to the Word of God. And that is our plumb line. That is our benchmark. So the kingdom of darkness, quickly it operates in two ways. Its ultimate goal is control and domination. Control and domination. And the enemy of our souls, Satan, achieves this two ways. Plan A, through manipulation, which is usually done through coercion or pressure, and definitely guilt. Coercion, pressure, and guilt, manipulation for control. And if that doesn't work, he moves on to plan B, which is intimidation through aggression and violence. One is passive and the other is active. But Jesus defeated Satan's kingdom upon the cross. And he did that by dying for the world. He didn't do it with guns, bullets, and sword. He made himself of no reputation. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus came and died on the cross to destroy Satan's works. And he did so. And now we have the wonderful opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. And once we're in that kingdom, we become overcomers. And how do we overcome? So let's pick it up on verse 13 from chapter 6. So put on the armor of God now, so when the day of evil comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. Isn't that wonderful that no weapon fashioned against us will prosper? That we have weapons that God has given us, spiritual weapons to fight spiritual battles. And I'm going to speak about these weapons right now. So stand ready with truth as a belt round your waist, tight wrapped around your waist. Truth, put on the righteousness of Christ as your breastplate. It protects our hearts, which is the wellspring of life. Shoes at the ready to proclaim, to share this glorious gospel of peace. And carry faith as a shield. With it, you will be able to extinguish all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. Wearing salvation as a helmet, which protects our minds. So these four weapons are defensive, but these last two are weapons of attack. Wield the sword of the Spirit with all wisdom, which is the word of God. Remember, Jesus defeated Satan in the temptation with the word of God, and we can defeat every temptation, every lie, and every accusation with the word of God. And lastly, the most powerful weapon, praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Prayers of the saint make Satan and his kingdom tremble. And he will attack prayer the most. He will attack you from reading the word of God, so we cannot have the weapons of warfare. But one scripture can defeat Satan. One memory verse can defeat him. Like, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. He who started a good work in me and in you, he will finish it in Christ Jesus. We have to equip ourselves with the word of God so we can use that sword of the Spirit to wield and put out all the lies and accusations of the enemy. And lastly, praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, always. I would encourage you, saints, understand the power of prayer. So I will go into this spiritual warfare at a later date and hopefully go into many sections of this and give you a bigger understanding. But in the meantime, I would encourage you to read 2 Corinthians and certainly the book of Ephesians, which is a very good insight to spiritual warfare. So God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. I would like to recommend a book, The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. The enemy often attacks us through our emotions. And this is a great tool, a great book about how to become emotionally healthy spiritually. Peter Scazzaro. So I'm going to hand over now to Nicola, who's going to lead us in prayer, and I'm going to close this service. So thank you very much for joining us this morning, and God bless you.
Let's pray. We come, O Lord, to you in your holy presence to adore you for who you are. You are our God, our Father, Father who cares for our needs, a Father who knows our pain, every sorrow we feel, a Father of compassion, Father who is a faithful and always with us. You are a merciful and filled with love for all your children. For our salvation, you paid the highest price, which no one can pay. You paid with the blood of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, just for us to have eternal life. You are Almighty, Sovereign God, who holds everything in His hand, and we rely our lives to you. You created us for your glory, and let our lives bring honor to your name. We are coming in your presence, O God, with a thanksgiving for everything what you have done for us. Thank you, our Father, for being with us in time of this crisis. Thank you for not leaving nor forsake us. You are a faithful God. Thank you for giving us your peace, peace which is above our understanding. We are thankful for your written word which enlighten our soul. We find the comfort for our sorrows in you, O Lord. Thank you, our Father, for the life that you have given us. Thank you for the air what we are breathing, for the water what we have, for the daily bread what you provide for us. Thank you for providing for our material and spiritual needs. All those blessings are coming from you. Father, we are thankful for being our refuge and protection. We are thankful for being merciful upon us, for the love what you have. Every perfect gift is coming from you, our Father. Dear Lord, your pathways are above our pathways. And many times we sin against you, against our loved ones, against our brothers and sisters. Have your mercy upon us. You have promised that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we are weak, but you are strong. Please forgive our failures and lift us up with your mighty hand. Please forgive us when our life did not glorify your name. Help us to be holy as you are holy. Cleanse our hearts, O Lord. Renew our mind through your scripture. Thank you for your sacrifice, Lord, to pay for our sins. You paid for our sins so we may live and to live for you. Dear Lord, we rely our lives to you, and please help us to be used for your glory. We want our lives to bring honor to your name. Make us to be your hands in other people's lives, hands which will help, hands which will serve. We pray our lips to proclaim your gospel, to be lips which will speak your word, lips which will comfort, lips which will encourage. We pray to you, Lord, to provide for our needs. You are our God, and we depend on you. Please put your protection upon us from every evil. Discipline us as a father. Change us to be more like you. Help us to be committed in reading your word and grow and mature in faith. We pray for this nation, for the repentance for rejecting you. We pray for revelation, for this nation to cry out to you. We pray for the peace of this land, O God. We pray for a godly people to be government of this country. Please be with the sick one. Bring a healing through your wounds. Bring a comfort where is in need. Help, O Lord, to the brothers and sisters all over the world where they face a persecution. Help us to grow as a church in love. Help us to spread your gospel message wherever you called us. We are humbly ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Nicola, for leading us in prayer. So I want to close this service with a benediction. Before I do that, I invite you to join us on the Zoom call after for some fellowship and prayer. If you don't have the login credentials, please message us and we will give you the login. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And may you experience his presence and peace throughout the week. So God bless you. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.